Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week our guest is Alice Najendran. Alice has years of experience in public affairs, policy and corporate communications experience in both the private and public sector, and has been with the BBC for just over 13 years. In February, she took over a brand new role at the BBC, Head of Business, Radio and Music Commissioning, which is the first time commissioning for speech and music has been combined. I asked Alice to tell me more about this new role.
So it's a new role for radio music. It's, I should say up front, I'm incredibly lucky to have it. It's an amazing privilege to do the role. It means I work across 9 national networks, 3, nearly 4 brand extensions, plus the 2 sports streams and BBC Sounds. And I oversee and direct all commissioning activity within radio music. The benefit of that is it makes sure we have a consistent approach to how we're commissioning, consistent commission processes, and a greater consistency in terms of how we manage our relationships. It obviously means I get to work with the most amazing commissioners in the business and working with some of the biggest brands, audio brands in the world. So it's incredibly exciting. It is new, as I say, so it's going to take a bit of time to bed in, but it's not a new role in TV. I've got brilliant counterparts who've been doing this role for a while.
Okay, so there's a precedent then in TV, but this is the first time this is a new role for the BBC in audio, in radio.
Yes, that, exactly. So for a number of years now, I've got 2 brilliant colleagues who oversee all of the factual and entertainment and comedy and drama commissioning in TV. So they've obviously got bigger budgets, but they somehow also managed to keep across all of commissioning activity in their patches. And the idea of this role and the reality of this role is to do the same, to keep across all commissioning activity, make sure it's strategically aligned, make sure the experience of working with the BBC as a supplier is a good one, and make sure that ultimately everyone is happy within the system.
This is a huge role. You've combined, like I say, you say speech and music commissioning for the first time. I think you've touched on it there a little bit, but what is the strategic thinking behind this combination?
I mean, the BBC has a really clear strategy, which radio has a very clear role to play within it. So the BBC strategy is pursue truth with no agenda, back the best of homegrown storytelling and bring people together. And clearly radio has got a critically important role to play. It's got huge reach. It's a critical part of the BBC ensuring we deliver value to audiences. And in fact, some of our stations have got unique reach. They reach parts of the country, listeners, audience members that other parts of the BBC don't touch. And then we've also within that got a clear digital growth strategy, keeping live strong, turbocharging OD growth, growing Sounds and showcasing the BBC off platform. Basically being where our audiences are and where our audiences are continuing to go to. And having one role that works very closely with the directors of commissioning, the heads of stations, to really make sure that all our commissioning activity is driving that strategy is what my role is here to do.
It's been a good week for Sounds, actually, hasn't it? Because it came out in the news this week. It's people consume podcasts. YouTube have overtaken Spotify. Then I think Spotify was second. Then Sounds were third.
Sounds launched 5 or 6 years ago, and it's doing really well against those big tech platforms. And that's clearly partly because it has an amazing content offer. I mean, it has been a really great week for BBC. One of the privileges of working with BBC is obviously so many weeks are fantastic. You know, it's been a big week for radio. We've had Sarah Cox's new breakfast show. We announced the 6 Music Indie Forever stream that's due to launch in a couple of weeks' time. We've just come back from Crosswires Festival, which the BBC was obviously a key partner in. And we've had some amazing content. Intrigue just dropped a bonus episode of To Catch a King. And with World Cup is obviously all on all our minds. And the BBC's having a good World Cup. And 5 Live is obviously playing a part in that, not least because so many of the matches are late in the day. And, you know, the idea you can lie in bed and listen to 5 Live is obviously proving popular with many people.
Yes, it's proving popular in this house, actually. It's important to say that at time of recording, England have not yet played their quarterfinal against Norway.
So time is passed out, we'll know the results. But again, I'm expecting it to the BBC to do well from that match.
Wimbledon as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost too much going on. I know for Richard Maddock was saying the other day, ahead of 5 Live, it's quite incredible how much sport there is. Obviously, it's amazing. It's a good problem to have. But scheduling those massive sports moments, cricket's having a big moment as well. You've got Wimbledon, World Cup. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a nice problem to have.
And Commonwealth Games coming later in the summer
too. Yeah, and it's great. It's one of the reasons it's brilliant that we've got more sports extensions, 5 Live, 2 and 3, as well as the main station. It just allows us to actually, the team, to do some very clever scheduling to make sure audiences can always listen to what they want to listen to.
Let's talk about the clear BBC's audio supply strategy more generally then? Let's talk about improvements that you've put in place in recent years.
So yeah, whilst I took on this role, the new role was created a few months ago. I've been doing an audio focused role for some time. And one of the key things when I took on that role was I inherited from Radio Commissioning Framework. So for those that are intimately involved with the Radio Commissioning process, they'll know the Radio Commissioning Framework has been a key document by which we commission audio over the past 10 years. It became really quite dusty. It hadn't been touched literally for years. And so it was no longer in step with actually how we were commissioning, which was, we obviously have evolved commissioning significantly in the past few years because the world has changed radically around us. So one of the key things I did was update the RCF to become the ACF, a rebrand that obviously would be familiar to the Audio Academy. So it's now the Audio Commission Framework. It still has three key principles at its heart: a commitment to creative competition, so the best idea wins; equal opportunity for suppliers, so we have the benefit within the BBC of having incredible in-house production teams, as well as an amazing independent audio sector. But we want both those sectors to feel they have equal opportunity to commissions. And then critically, a transparent and consistent process. The way in which BBC Radio has evolved over time, it's got an amazing heritage, amazing history, but it's not always worked in a consistent way. So we've introduced a bit more consistency. So if you're a supplier to Radio 1 and 6 Music and Radio 4, it's not an entirely different experience working with those networks. The key commitment we gave, which is what matters, is that all new opportunity is open to all. So there's no new opportunity gifted to any one particular supplier, partly because that's fair, but partly also because that's going to get us the best ideas. So that's a commitment across speech and radio. All new opportunities are now competed.
So that means you're going to be engaging more with outside companies, not just in-house BBC productions, engaging with audio indies as well. Do you have any examples of how the experience has improved for them working with the BBC?
I hope it's improved. You'd have to ask them. But certainly, again, when I took on this role about 3 years ago, the audio role, I worked very closely with Mohit Bikaya and Lorna Clark and John O'Wall just to really improve the engagement with the sector. So we started out by just actually engaging directly with indies rather than just in the commissioning and pitching process, seeing them outside of that, hearing from them, hearing what we could improve. One of the key things I picked up on and I have since addressed is there was just a really lack of access to performance data. So indies just did not know how their titles were performing for us. It's a quirk of the way in which the BBC works. TV indies have been able to access that performance data for years, but won't go into technical detail why, but audio indies weren't able to. So I've worked closely with the BBC audiences team. They've done an amazing job, and audio indies now get access to their performance data, which is obviously critical to making sure the programmes they make for us remain creatively strong. Another thing that I'm really proud of is the Radio Indie Development Fund. It's now in its fourth year. We've worked with over 40 indies. Those 40 indies have gone on to win, for last count, 350 commissions. It's a critical enabler to, this is very BBC speak, but our Across the UK strategy. But in reality, it's transforming those indies. We've seen some real successes off the back of it. The Big Light up in Scotland have talked about how it's transformatory for them. I bumped into Resonate at Crosswires last week. They were talking about how well that relationship's going with their commissioning mentor, how exciting it is, how they really feel that it's helping make their business stronger and more robust, but ultimately it means the best ideas are getting to commissioners. So that's just some of the key ways in which we've hopefully improved the experience.
There is lots of opportunity. That Radio Indie Development Fund is a great opportunity. How does the process work then to choose those 40 recipients? Do you need to spread the love geographically across the country? Is that a commitment?
Yeah, and we made it really clear this year in the criteria. We said we want to work with indies that are either based outside of London or looking to establish a base outside of London. So there are a couple of traditionally London-based indies who are actively building bases outside of London, so we are supporting them. But it does mean we have this amazing spread. We've got indies in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the English regions that we're working with. We're also quite keen this year to work with more established indies. So we weren't really looking as much as new entrants are important. We really wanted to work with more of the more established indies to help make their businesses more sustainable, help them win more international business from a BBC. And another key change we made this year is all of our radio networks now participate. So we brought Radio 1 and Radio 2 into the scheme. They weren't always in it from the start. And I know that they are getting so much from it. One of my favorite parts of the year is when we get the Indie Development Fund Day, when we get all the indies together and all the commissioning mentors together. And I know that my colleagues in commissioning get as much from that day as the indies. And it's just brilliant to hear about the indies, hear about their experience today, their story, their journey. A lot of them have worked in TV already and they're looking to move into audio. So it's really interesting to see what they pitch to us, their experience working in different parts of the sector. So it's a learning experience for everyone.
I think people in the audio industry realise that the BBC commission independent companies to make some of their programmes. But I think outside the industry, it still comes as quite a surprise. Yesterday, I gave a talk at my old school to some sixth form students about radio and podcasting and getting into the industry. And they just were not aware that some of the things they listen to on BBC Sounds are not made by the BBC. They're made for the BBC by Persephonica, for example, talking about Crosswires. Kind of blew their mind. I think they just thought, oh, well, BBC, they make all their own stuff.
How would they know that, you know?
Yeah. You wouldn't know. No. And I guess talks like mine, you know, someone from the industry. I said, so, you know, look for independent companies to work for, because you'll still end up making, or could end up making, BBC content, stuff that will go on Sounds. But
that's why, like you say, people like yourself going to schools and talking about the BBC, and you don't need to work for the BBC to create programmes. You know, you can be a creator, and you certainly bypass the BBC entirely if you wanted to these days. That's why not just the Indie Development Fund, but also Audio Train, Audio Lab are obviously critical entry points into the sector, and also really big key enablers to making sure that you don't have to travel to London or one of the bigger cities. You know, you saw a lot of young people engaging with Crosswires. The more that the younger generation see that, the more they realise it's for them. The BBC is for them as well. And it obviously means that we'll still get that fresh new talent coming into the sector.
That is a key message, isn't it, as well? I mean, I think a lot of radio and podcasts want to try and get that younger audience engaged. When I asked them who listens to the radio, not many hands went up. But when I said who listens to podcasts, then they'd all listen. These were 17-year-olds. They all listened to podcasts.
Which is really reassuring. I mean, live radio remains incredibly strong. And it's not like TV, the TV channels, which are clearly in quite rapid decline. Live radio remains critically important, including with younger audiences. You know, Radio 1 remains very strong. But yeah, podcasting is just clearly a very, very, very rapidly growing sector, and audiences lap it up because it gives them something that really feels for them. And that's why we are looking at our commissioning strategy. We have made some commissioning changes. John O'Wall has taken on an expanded role as director of sounds so that he can really turbocharge that on-demand growth. Sounds and speech will work more closely together. There'll be a bit of a sharper focus on digital growth, and particularly the growth of sounds. Because, I mean, it's amazing how much consumption of podcasts, BBC podcasts, happens off platform, and we are keen to carry on showcasing our content off platform. YouTube, we're expanding into YouTube. We did an experiment recently with Radio 1 Big Weekend on Spotify, but ultimately we know people realise they get greatest value when they're listening on the BBC. So we need to work really hard to find those audiences off platform and bring them back to the BBC.
We're talking about indies, we're talking about pitching. You are head of commissioning. We hear about BBC cuts and cuts in commissioning. That's bound to make some indies nervous.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that? Can you reassure them that there is still programmes to be made, that there are still opportunities? I mean, it's a tough time for the BBC.
It is, but the scale of the financial challenge is significant. I've worked at BBC long enough to, you know, we've been through periods of financial challenge before, but this one does really feel quite significant. But I understand entirely the nervousness also within the independent sector. We have said, I can't go into much more detail at this stage.
No, I appreciate that. But I wanted to address it because obviously the cuts are in the news.
No, and look, sadly, I mean, we've been quite open that because we have in previous rounds really looked for efficiency savings and cut in the non-content areas. Unfortunately, we are at this stage, because of the scale of financial challenge, we're going to have to make some cuts in audience spacing, services and content, but we're of course trying to minimize audience impact. But two key points to make. One, we've been quite clear that, you know, times like this are always a good opportunity to really focus on where the greatest value is. So this is not just a story of decline and cuts. It's also actually about how do we make ourselves fit for future. And there is going to be plenty of opportunities still to come. I think we've got a couple of briefs going out. And then in the autumn, there'll be further opportunity as well. You know, there is still a lot of opportunity. And visualized audio is clearly an expanding opportunity area as well. Watch this space. There'll be much more on that soon.
Just wanted to ask you a little bit about pitching, what you look for in a new idea, how important new voices are for radio, and what are the mistakes that people make when they're pitching?
Obviously, the key person in that pitch is the commissioner. Thinking you might ask me this, Georgie, I thought I would ask the question of a couple of commissioners and ask them for their tips.
Oh, nice.
I won't name names. And I realised actually it's brilliant. You get some great thoughts back. I've quite enjoyed this. So top tip from a music commissioner is anchor your pitch in its benefits for broadcaster and the audience, and leave the commissioner in no doubt that you care about the subject both on a personal and professional level. Data is good, but data with a suitable anecdote is even better. So really bringing out the human stories and the passion. Then another commissioner has sent me a lot of thoughts here. I won't read them all out. Be super clear. Don't fill it with waffle. Do everything you can get into the commissioner's ear about how the programme is going to sound. Write a brilliant pitch. You're competing against the very best people in the country and your pitch needs to stand out. And then in terms of no-nos, in terms of pitching, don't promise stuff you can't deliver. It'll become apparent. You'll get found out. If you can see weaknesses in your written pitch, then the commissioner will also spot those. Don't get into thinking decisions have already been made. They haven't. We want the best people with the best ideas. And then one of the other no-nos, which made me laugh, was do not say the reason you want to win this commission is free Glastonbury tickets. True story. Someone apparently did. Was very honest in a pitch and said that. I'm not sure they won it.
They probably thought they were being quirky and funny.
Yeah, memorable for all the wrong reasons.
That's not a good look, is it? What do you want to achieve with this? I mean, you've been doing this role about 6 months, I think, since February. What do you want to achieve with this new role? Do you have future plans you can tell us about?
Clearly, I'm here to support our commissioners and the change we've made in terms of Jono Wall taking on an expanded remit to really accelerate our digital growth is clearly a priority for me to help support that. I would say also, I'm really keen to make sure that we continue to be a brilliant commissioner to work with. It's interesting. I used to have a broader role working across TV and radio, and TV indies still need a big commissioner to commission them. Whereas in audio, increasingly, because of the nature of audio distribution, indies just don't need us. They can self-commission, self-publish. And for the BBC to really make sure that we are still broadcasting, making, commissioning, broadcasting the best ideas, we need to make sure the supplier has the best experience working with us. And we've made quite a lot of improvements in that area. It's something I've really focused on in the past few years, but I think we've got some way to go. But yeah, I would say I have got an amazing job. I get to work with some of the best creatives in this country, and I just love it every day for that reason.
Finally, what excites you about the future of audio in the UK at the moment? What's new that you've got your eye on?
You say, Georgie, about you're talking to, you know, teenagers and the fact they love podcasts. Radio is not a dead medium. Audio is not a dead medium. And those 17, 18-year-olds are clearly the next generation of creators that we need to be working with. So the BBC, it's really exciting the way in which we are evolving how we distribute content, how we commission content, going to YouTube and Spotify, going to where the audiences are, hoping to bring them back to the BBC itself. But it just means, I mean, there's a whole heap of complexity that brings, the systems we work with and how we commission. But it's also a really exciting challenge to have. And ultimately, if we don't get it right, if we don't face it, we're going to become increasingly irrelevant or less relevant to those audiences. So there's a huge amount of jeopardy. In terms of kind of my top tips for audio, I love one of the recent titles we commissioned is Here for the History. History is obviously an incredibly crowded market, but I think Here for the History is bringing a new take on history. Kind of a more personal stories are being brought out. So this week was all about why women's clothing doesn't traditionally have pockets. And then kind of standout audio for me in the past, if I think back to what I've written, it's really stood out of me in the past few months. I love audio drama. I can get very immersed in it. I don't have a huge amount of spare time, but I can get completely kind of taken away by some audio drama. There's a great acquisition on Sounds called Cold Tapes about a murder on an Antarctic base, which I would recommend. And then another one that's really stuck with me is Anatomy of Cancellation, which is all about kind of culture wars seen through this tale of one book, which was published during lockdown. Yeah, what excites me is ultimately for content, obviously, and for content reaching audiences and audiences then loving it.
A big thank you to Alice for being our guest. If you'd like to know more about BBC commissioning, then go to bbc.co.uk/commissioning. We have two summer socials, one tomorrow, 16th of July in London at the Lantern, and another on the 4th of August in Newcastle at the Cinema Room. Both are free for Audio Academy members and just £4 for non-members. Go to audioacademy.org.uk/events for more details and to book your ticket. Next week, we start our summer shorts podcasts, bite-sized podcast full of best bits, highlights, and some previously unheard footage, all ready for your summer listening. We kick off next week with some previously unheard audio from my chat with Prison Radio Association's Lady Unchained. I'll see you next week.